Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hey, hello, and welcome to another Girls on Games Cast. My name is Leah. This is episode 80, and happy National Video Game Day to all you fine gamer friends of ours. Thank you so much for coming to hang out. I'm surrounded by some wonderful, wonderful women here today. First off, Miss 8-Bit Blonde, Allie, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm excellent, because it's awesome. Monday, and I get to hang out here. I love it. I love it. And we've also got our beautiful redhead, Miss Alice. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm real good. I'm real excited to talk with you folks about video games, what we're all playing, all the press conferences that happened. Like, it's been nuts. And the thing is, too, is we had a holiday in the middle of it, and that kind of, like, threw all our plans out the window. We would have had some time to, like, break it down, but because of the holiday, such is life. Oh, well, that's okay. We're going to truck on through. So let's get this day started off. Let's talk about what everybody's been playing. Now, Allie, what have you been playing, my dear?
I've just been playing a little bit of Fallout.
Just a little bit?
Just a tiny bit. I have become Fallout, guys. It is bad. I have the Fallout bug. I have put in over 60 hours over the past 2 weeks. I haven't slept. It's been an awesome ride, though. So yeah, just lots of Fallout. Lots of Fallout on my end. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. You're not the only person who's been drinking the Nuka-Cola. Alice?
Oh my God. Yeah. I think I remember, like, it was on our Discord channel. Allie said that she was playing, and then I was like, oh my God, wait, I have it on my Xbox. I haven't played on my Xbox in forever. Let me, like, start it up. I'll start a new game. I was looking up, like, online, like, the best, like, set to do and, like, different things to do with your different character, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, that's it. I'm hooked. That's it. I only have him.
It's crazy because, you know, Fallout's been out for a little while and it kind of fell off the map, and then all of a sudden it's back with a vengeance.
Yep.
Go ahead, Allie.
I actually, like, I picked the game up, obviously. Like, I have the Pip-Boy edition. I was super hyped for the game when it was announced. The game actually launched and I played for maybe all of 20 hours, and then I just couldn't get into it for some reason. I wasn't super happy playing it, so I moved on to other stuff, and I just decided it was time to go back to it, and I kind of went back to it with, like, a different mindset this time around, and I approached my, like, my new save differently, and it completely changed my experience, and I've been having a great time playing, and I haven't, like, I just started the first large expansion pack, Far Harbor. Mm-hmm. I still have, like, I would say, like, one-fourth of the map explored, so 60 wow. hours in and still more to go.
So that brings up an idea there, like, this, you know, like, sometimes when games come out and you don't get hooked right away, it's almost like you need to be in the time frame and the mindset in order to really grab it. And do you think it's changed your opinion on the game now, Allie?
Yeah. I suffer from that a lot. I pick up games at the wrong time, and, you know, it could just be, like, my mood. It could just be, like, a bad or busy month. And I play them for the first time, and I don't enjoy them. Mm-hmm. And it kind of does the game a disservice. And so I always try and revisit games I didn't enjoy the first time and give them another shot, because sometimes they are genuinely games that just don't tickle my fancy. But then there are games that, like I said, I approach them in the wrong state of mind the first time, and the second time is completely different. And that's the thing, that's what it is with Fallout.
Mm. And for you, Alice, playing Fallout again after seeing other people talking about it, I think that really brings people back into certain games as well. It's like you put it away for a while, someone starts playing, and all of a sudden it gives you that idea in your head.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like you'll hear someone talk about it and, like, how excited and how happy they are playing it, that it kind of reminds you of, like, oh my God, like, yeah, like, I did have an amazing time with this. And when I first bought Fallout, I bought it the first day and I was at work and I remember geeking out with like my friends and I went to go to Best Buy to buy it on lunch and I was like super, super happy and I couldn't wait to play it. Da, da, da. So I played it on my PlayStation first. And then I kind of, my character in that one was kind of just like, I was just feeling out the game. Like I didn't know, like, you know, about the different
perks
and all that. So I just kind of like went like, you know, five of each almost, whatever. I was just, you know, whatever I wanted. Xbox, my game on my Xbox now, I like had like something like a goal in mind, like a certain perks in mind that I wanted to do, like how I wanted to play my character. I had a whole story for her, which is super whatever. And it's just like, it's so much fun. It's like role playing a bit, but like, I don't know. I really, really like it. I really, really, it's just awesome. It's just a really, really good game.
Have you often gone back to games afterwards with like, I remember playing Stardew Valley and just being like, afterwards being like, if I started this again, if I had time to start this again, I would do this completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely agree. Even for Stardew Valley, yes. What other games there was like that? A lot of Pokemon games. Yeah. A lot of Pokemon games. I've like kind of like, I always buy like the two different versions of the game when it comes out. So I'll have like Ruby and Sapphire. So Ruby is my main one. Blah, blah, blah. Sapphire,
that's a huge commitment.
I know. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So one of them I'll keep all my like awesome shinies and like my legendaries, I'll keep that in there, and the other one I'll just like restart, and it's just like there's just something about starting a brand new game from scratch. Yes, at Destiny 2 I'm like that for Destiny, like I'll go back to it and it's like I'm like rediscovering it again. It's just so good. It's just like it feels like home.
Allie, did you start a completely new character?
Yeah, my character that I have the 60 hours and 45 levels into right now, she's completely new. I started her on Friday, Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So, like, I literally, Labor Day weekend, I did nothing. I stayed in my room, like, right there, playing Fallout the entire time. And so I like to start fresh when I revisit games. I don't like to pick up old save points because I feel like that's kind of like, it's been tarnished.
It's hard.
No, girl, I so agree with you. I'm like, I'm the same way. I'm the same way. It's just like, it's so distant. You don't recognize it anymore. So just
Like I put, I have Witcher 3 right now on the back burner. And I know when I go back to that, I'm going to have to start a new save. And that's kind of daunting, but it's going to be worth it, I think.
Good stuff. I've been playing Deus Ex Mankind Divided, spent the weekend doing that, and then was listening to Shome this afternoon, and all of a sudden I hear a Lexus commercial and there's Elias Tufexis's voice.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm still at work. Adam Jensen's not supposed to be here right now. yeah, but I might have to put that on the side for a little bit though, because I'm going to be streaming something after the podcast.
What are you going to be streaming, Mia?
Can you give us a hint?
Oh, I'm going to play some ReCore because we got an early access code and I managed to get it downloaded. So yeah, gaming after the podcast.
Oh my God, that's going to be fun. First?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Mm. I know, we don't really do that very often because I'm usually exhausted, but Mike's out tonight. So like, give me 10 minutes in between just to set everything up and I think it'll be good. So bear with me if I'm a little like wiped because, you know, podcasting, it seems like just a conversation, but there's a lot of prep work. We're on camera, you know, you got to like be into it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of energy is exerted. So yeah, but I think it'll be fun. And I don't really know a whole lot about ReCore. So it's going to be like a whole discovery process. So I haven't read any reviews either. So there we go. Don't spoil it. All right. Don't spoil it. Nobody's played it yet. That's fun. I want to give you all a little update on something that's going down before we get into all the topics of the week, which usually we talk news of the week right now, but the topics are the news because we had so many press conferences. But this weekend, if you are in the Montreal area, there is a Montreal International Game Festival happening at Dawson College on Saturday. So if you're in the Montreal area, you can go and check it out. There's going to be lots of games there for you to go check out, indie developer games, which is really, really cool. And we've been asked to judge a category, art direction. So a bunch of us on the team have been going through the games and stuff. So lots of cool stuff. People got mad talent. Mad talent. So yeah, I'm really,
it's really awesome, especially because like I studied at Dawson, so it's like, oh, little babies. It's just
close to your heart.
Yeah,
it's gonna be weird going back to Dawson.
Right?
Want to be like in the same cafeteria. And, you
know. Exactly. Yeah, it's creepy when you go back to school. That's, but you know what it is about Dawson? It's the lockers. That's what gets me.
Oh my God. Oh,
yeah. That puts me back in school. But no, I didn't go to Dawson. But yeah, I lived right
next
there.
For me, it's that little seating area under the stairs right next to the lockers. Mm. That's where my group of friends used to hang out. And so that's going to be very weird to walk in and see that.
Oh, wow. So you went to Dawson too?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So many of the crew went to Dawson. Dawson's a popular school. Popular school. Lots of cool folks coming out of there. Lots of cool art. Lots of cool game devs coming out of there. It's good times. All right. So let's talk about all these press conferences because there were a lot. Now, we're going to start off with Nintendo. They had their Nintendo Direct on September 1st. But... you know, that was before the holiday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But, you know, it's all been, like, starting to settle in a little bit now, all the news is coming out, and some additional stuff on top of that. Like, some things have been confirmed and all this kind of stuff. So let's get into it. First off the bat, Pokemon Sun and Moon. Alice, I know you're
excited. Oh, man. Oh, man, you guys. I just love Pokemon. I don't know. I can't help it. Like, you know, like growing up, you think like, oh, like I'll get over it. No. Pokemon has been with me since the tender age of 9 and has shaped me into who I am now. And I'm just like, I'm really excited. Just looking at all like the new Pokemon, the new region, just like all like, I don't know. I love it. I'm really, really excited for it. I think it's going to be a really good one.
I'm in total agreement. This is the first time I've been really hooked on Pokemon and excited about a game in a while. I think it's a combination of Pokemon Go bringing back my love and then also playing Yo-Kai Watch and being like, Pokemon's got to do better. And then the stuff's coming out now, all the news with all the cool things about Alola Island, the music. Every yes. time I hear a trailer.
Yes.
It's dope.
It's really, really good. I've always been a fan of the Pokemon music. And sometimes I'll just have it in the background while I'm drawing or something. And it's just like, it's nostalgia. It's great.
All right. So, Alice, are you going to be picking up both copies of the game?
That's what I do. luckily, my best friend works at me. Shout out to Alex. And then, like, I haven't reserved the game yet. But we normally get them. And then we go have breakfast and we play them together. But I'm going to get both for sure.
That's such a cute tradition.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. She's not going to be working there forever. So like, I'm just like, okay, let's just, you know, let's do this now. But I think I'm going to be maining Moon just because I like the Moon better. I identify with it more. I don't know. Also the bat, the legendary. The name is escaping me now. Oh my God. But you know what I'm talking about? The legendary. Feel terrible. I'm really bad names, but I just really like it. I just think it's pretty, pretty cool.
Sweet.
I'm really excited for the differences and stuff like that.
Sweet. Allie, are you going to be picking it up?
I think so. I don't know if I'm going to get it on launch. It depends on when World of Final Fantasy comes out.
That's true.
I think I might pick that up first for my commute game. But I definitely will be picking up the new Pokemon. I think I might wait until my boyfriend also has a 3DS, and that way, you know, we can play together.
Start your own tradition!
Well, this way we can trade between each other.
Exactly.
But yeah, I will definitely pick it up. I'll be picking up Moon. I'm not dedicated enough to pick up both titles.
I'm sure somebody on the team will have the other title.
That's it. We can switch after a little while. Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's talk about some of the details that came out in the Nintendo Direct. First off, there's going to be an Alola version of Rattata, and I'm so tired of Rattata right now. It's actually really cool that they're coming out with something different to do with him. And what I like about Pokemon, which is something that I probably didn't grasp because I didn't follow it quite as hardcore as maybe Alice did or some other folks, is like how they actually put like lore in there that like makes sense with animals. Like the whole reason why this version of Rattata, and he's going to be a dark and normal, and has a new dark look, is the lore about them evolving to be nocturnal to avoid Yugoos. Like, because the Yugoos stay out in the daytime, in order for them to survive, the Yugoos were supposed to catch all the Rattatas that were, like, taking over the island. So the Rattatas evolved to be dark. That's freaking cool!
Yeah, I'm actually like, I love that idea. I love it. It like, it, you know, it makes sense. It like, it helps justify the change that they're doing. Cause it's like, oh, people say like, oh, it's just another like retata. Like, who gives a shit? But I mean, hey, this is like, this gives it background. This gives it a story. This is why the retata is dark now. And I'm excited to see it for the other Pokemon that have changes.
Yeah, like all the ice ones, which doesn't make sense because this is supposed to be like Hawaii area. Why are they ice type?
There's like a higher mountain range. So that's why there's like there's like a glacial portion of the island farther north. So there's like the ice sand shores and whatnot. I think that's kind of neat that there's like such varying degrees and like differences in the selection this round.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I just wanted to say like the psychic Raichu.
Yeah.
Badass. This is cool.
It's got a little surfboard. Right? I'm most excited for Mimikyu.
Yeah.
Oh yes. What so cute.
There's like all this fan art already.
Stole my heart when I saw him. I was like, oh my god, I just want to love him.
And the greatest name. Like, kudos to the people who like write the Pokemon names because they're all translated. Mimikyu, that's so smart.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think there's some Pokemon names that are a little bit too on the nose, but Mimikyu is really clever. So he's a cute.
And the other Pokemon that we learned about is called Muchlax, which would evolve into a Snorlax. Now, from my remembrance, a Snorlax has no evolved forms. So it was kind of cool to see an animal or a Pokemon evolve into him. But you have to buy, Muchlax is available when you buy Pokemon Sun and Moon. I'm not sure if it like goes away after a certain point. Like they made it, the way they said it in the...
I don't want to interrupt, but
do your thing.
Munchlax has been Snorlax pre-evolution for like 3 generations now.
There you go. See, this is what happens. This is what happens when you play Pokemon for a while.
No, but they have something new with him. It's like if you pre-order, so they're just like making him more like... No one uses Munchlax. Come on. No one uses Munchlax competitively. Come on. He's lesser known.
For those of you who don't know, that's the voice of God, aka Simon, our technical producer. Voice of God, correcting the host. I love it.
I love correcting people for some reason, especially Leah.
It's my forte.
Oh my God!
Okay, God.
Ouch. Hey God, simmer down now. Simmer down with that control. Simmer down. Oh my goodness gracious. So yeah, Pokemon Sun Moon. I mean, the hype is real. I guess we'll see when it all comes out. More details to come. Mario Maker is coming 3DS on December 2nd of 2016. I actually think this is a really, really smart idea. I'm surprised they did not think of this or do this when the game launched, because it makes total sense to be able to build your games or your levels on the go. I don't think it's going to pull me back into Mario Maker. I'm not really that interested in creating levels. I mean, that's just not my thing. I'm creative on an everyday basis, so I really just want to play what other people make for me. Allie?
I'm probably the worst person to ask about this. The only like thing that I use that's creative in video games is like the Halo 5 Forge. That's it. I'm not a super big Nintendo fan to begin with. I am not a super huge Mario fan to begin with, so Super Mario Maker is kind of like for me, and I'm definitely not going to pick it up now that it's on 3DS.
How about you, Alice?
I actually always thought it was on 3DS. I don't have a Wii U, so I've never played it. But I like watching videos of it. I like watching Game Grumps.
Yes, I think once every YouTuber had like done a series on Super Mario Maker playing like fan levels, I think that's just like when it died.
Yeah. But then I think like watching these videos and like laughing hysterically in tears at your desk and your boss coming up to you like, what the hell's wrong with you? I think that like it'll be like, it might be a really good like social game. Like you play it with your friends, like you guys are over and like you're playing it together. Maybe not on the 3DS, but I just think it is. But it coming on 3DS, I think it's something interesting. I'm not sure if I'd pick it up. I definitely wouldn't knock it down right away, but I'll think about it.
The one that I'm really excited about coming to the 3DS is Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. Now, I loved Yoshi's Woolly World, and Poochie is the cutest thing ever. Like, cute, pissed. So this is going to have all the stages from the Wii U game, plus new ones specifically for Poochie. It's coming out February 3rd, so that's pretty close to my birthday. Just letting y'all know. That's what my birthday is. Just saying. Of next year. Stop motion animated shorts to accompany the game. That's awesome. Gotta love some stop motion animated shorts. I mean, like, Blizzard got that down and pat in the bag, so now it's time for Nintendo to jump on that. And Poochie's getting an amiibo.
Yay! He's so cute. Hey, he's just adorable. How could you not fall in love with him, man? I gotta start collecting amiibos. It's gonna be the death of me.
Yeah, it's a lot of them. But I mean, it's just the yarn ones that I'm like suckered into. But they better make a big one, like they did the big yarn Yoshi. I need a big Poochie to go along with him.
That's gonna be too adorable.
Yeah, so cute. So cute. Love it. I think that whole style of like putting everything to yarn and the stitching and that whole aesthetic works really well for it. Sweet. And the last thing on the list, a Pikmin game that's coming to Nintendo 3DS.
That's not the last thing on the list.
No.
For Nintendo.
For Nintendo.
No, it's not.
Hold on.
The most important announcement of the Nintendo Direct was the update that Animal Crossing New Leaf is going to be getting in December.
I'm just saying. Oh my god, you can tell where Lee is.
I am ready.
Okay, Allie, roll down on what the update is for Animal Crossing.
They actually didn't give us any details. They just said there's going to be an update. People assumed it was content, so let's just keep our fingers crossed that it is content. There's going to be another line of the amiibo cards and all that jazz. But I've got 500 hours in Animal Crossing New Leaf, and I would very much like to add more to that.
I was in Walmart yesterday, and I saw a slew of the amiibos. They're really nice. The physical ones?
They have that was for the Animal Crossing Festival game on Wii U.
Yeah,
I didn't buy those. I should have, because they're just so cute. Maybe if they go on sale.
Yeah,
they are really, really cute physically.
They look great. Okay, so there's that one, and there's a new Pikmin game coming in 2017, but no details on that. Pikmin was pretty decent on the Wii U.
I did play that on the Wii U when I briefly had one, and I really enjoyed Pikmin.
Yeah, that was a great game. I think that's a really good game to have on the go as well. It makes total sense.
Definitely.
And then we had another press conference a few days later, maybe a week later. September 1st was a week later. First off, there was the Apple press conference. And there was a moment during that Apple press conference where Mr. Miyamoto came up on stage and everybody was like, minds were blown, because what? Pokemon Go first is coming to the Apple Watch. And then we actually got a Mario game announced that is coming to iOS. Let's talk about the Apple Watch first and Pokemon Go. I personally think this makes total sense. Ladies, I mean, are you still playing Pokemon Go? Would this turn you on to buying an Apple Watch? More so than that little like gizmo thing that they wanted us to buy that they still haven't released yet?
That's actually getting released this month.
Is it?
Yeah, I believe September 18th is when that's going on sale worldwide.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, they announced it. They announced it on Facebook and everything.
Okay, good. They didn't make much of a...
Can't you buy them at EB? Can't you buy them at EB Games?
I think there's some places that sold in stock. Apparently, I haven't seen any in the wild.
I haven't either.
I don't think they're selling them in Canada, though. I'm still playing Pokemon Go, but even if it's added to the Apple Watch, that never in a million years would that make me buy an Apple Watch.
Nope.
Never. Oh my god, no. I can buy like a $25 like little Pokemon charm. That's fine, but I will not buy like a $300 Apple Watch.
Well, it's okay. You're not missing out much, because it just gives you alerts. You can't actually catch a Pokemon through the Apple Watch app. So, what's the point?
Yeah.
But some cool stats came out when they did talk about Pokemon Go, being that the game has been downloaded over 500 million times. People have walked over 4.6 billion kilometers while playing. That's a cool stat. That's a lot of walking. People getting fit playing Pokemon Go. And there is no release date for the the app or the version of the game on the Apple Watch, except for later this year. So I imagine they'll be making a big update to Pokemon Go, maybe doing a big hoopla around it, doing a legendary, maybe Mew or Mewtwo or something finally. And then, yeah, they'll probably put it out for the app then. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I hope they release Mewtwo like that. Remember that whole trailer where everyone's on Times Square and they're like battling to like, maybe we should just wait until the new year. I don't know. But hopefully, I hope so. I don't know.
I think there's going to be a legendary event soon.
They have they to if they want to get people back on it.
Yeah, and all the birds, right?
The three legendary birds. But the thing is, like, a lot of people are freaking out. Like, they're like, oh my God, 50 million people have like uninstalled Pokemon Go. What we have to understand is, like, people's parents were installing Pokemon Go, like, just to see what it was. Like, there was a lot of people that were never going to continue playing who installed it just to see what this, because I mean, like, it was literally like a, like, quote unquote, like, life-changing launch. Like, it made news everywhere in every part of the world. So I mean, it's not that big of a number when you think about it.
And it's kind of expected that there's going to be drop-off. Every game has a drop-off. Like, it's just natural. And you launch something new, everybody will come back. Do you know what I mean? Or a lot of people will come up. A fair percentage will come back. And some people will start anew again. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But that moment where Miyamoto came out on stage was all about Super Mario Run, which is a endless runner game coming to iOS in December of 2016. Looks like Nintendo's finally getting with the program. Mm-hmm.
About time.
Yeah. So in this game, Mario runs across the stage to gather as many coins as possible. So Mario continuously runs, and the only control that you have is you tap, and the longer you press is the higher he jumps. So you tap to jump, press longer, jump higher. You have to collect as many coins as possible. You can play the whole game with one hand. And there's blocks in the game that'll change Mario's direction. So you run up to one of these blocks and he'll hit back the other way. So you saw in some of the trailers that he would run and hit something and then jump onto the wall and then jump forward and that kind of stuff. So that's how that mechanic works. That is single player mode. There's also a multiplayer battle mode called Toad Rally that lets you race against your friends and other players across the world. Scores are based on how many coins you collect and how many toads you impress by doing daring moves. Not really sure what daring moves are yet, but I guess it means like death-defying jumps. What's cool about the coins is that you actually collect them and the toads. You collect the toads to become members of your Magic Kingdom, and then the coins you collect to use to buy upgrades for your kingdom. Don't know what those upgrades are yet. I guess that we will soon see. It's a great concept for a mobile game, in my opinion. It makes total sense using one of the biggest, if not the biggest, video game character ever on the Apple device, on Apple first. I mean, it's supposed to come to Android as well, but there's no date to that yet. But I mean, it makes total sense. Ladies, what do you think?
Hard pass for me.
Yeah, you're not a Mario fan, but you can see where the value is and how that's going to get people hooked back onto Apple and on back onto gaming on Apple devices with, you know, but is it pulling people away from 3DSs and the NX? And
no, I think it's a different crowd. I think this is for very much, I don't want to sound like an elitist when I say this, but I think it's very much for like the casual crowd.
Which is fine.
It's totally fine. And I don't think it's going to replace handhelds in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's a good decision that they're getting on board.
There's been no price set yet for the game, but it will be a solid price. They said they want you to buy it first and then let her go. Do you guys have any ideas of what you think they might charge for this game?
$6.99.
I was going to say $5. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard some rumors of like up to $20.
No.
Yeah. Well, then they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah. $6.99. I can buy even that when I'm looking at the app store. I'm like, do I want to spend $7 on this? Do you know what I mean? Like that happened. Yeah. That legitimately happens. $1, $2. I'm like, I don't care. Instant buy. You know what I mean?
Up to $3.99. I don't even think twice about hitting purchase, but then past $3.99, then I'm like,
what's in you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm a little picky when it comes to like mobile games. Like if it's free, yeah, but it's only been like maybe like one, I think it's just one game that I actually, no, two that I actually bought. And but I don't know about Mario. I don't know.
I think it'll have me hooked for like a good week and a half, and then I'll move on to something else. Like, yeah, I'm not one to play the endless runner kind of style games. I mean, the challenges are fun and all that kind of stuff. I'm much more into puzzles and like simulation and that kind of style when I'm playing on the go. Cause like, yeah, they designed it so you can like hold on to stuff while you're playing, but like, you really need to watch. And like, you can't do that sometimes when you're on the bus, like you'll miss your stop or something. So yeah. Yeah. Oh, something's happening in chat. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. So yeah, like I said, it's only coming out on iOS first, but then it's supposed to go to Android afterwards. And you could actually sign up now in the iOS store to get a notification when it is live, which is kind of a cool concept. I haven't seen that very often or at all, except for like on albums. Like where you could pre-order it and then go and download it later. But I guess where there's no price on this yet, they're not, you can't like pre-order it. So it wouldn't auto-download. But hey, pardon?
You just said you can't pre-order it?
No, because they don't have a price on it yet, but you can go and sign up for notifications.
Oh yeah, yeah, the notification thing I saw, yeah.
Yeah, so you can sign up for notifications and in that sense, you're not pre-ordering it, but you'll know when it comes out. But that's not something they've really done for games before. Usually games hit the iOS store and that's it. They're there. You can go download them, go.
Well, that's because Apple sees like money signs.
Mm-hmm. Right, oh, yeah. Do they ever? And yeah. I bet you there was money signs when they got Nintendo involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, and along with that, we're getting iOS 10 is having stickers, Mario stickers for iPhone and iMessage. So you'll be seeing a lot of Mario's face all over your iOS device.
What I really want is the League of Legends stickers from Facebook and Messenger.
That'd be kind of cool.
That's just what I want because I want to spam my friends with Teemo.
Jinx. I would do Jinx.
Awesome. Sweet. All right, ladies, I think that kind of wraps up all the stuff that went down at the iOS, the Apple press conference. I mean, they announced a phone. We knew that was coming, but you know, we're not much to talk about the actual devices unless it's a console. And that's what we got to talk about next. Cause like maybe a half an hour later, PlayStation meeting happened. Oh, Wednesday. Wednesday was a hell of a day. And what happened? Leah was put in meetings all day. So I had to catch up on all of this afterwards. that's part of life. All right. So, PlayStation meeting. Probably the worst kept secret in all of mankind was the PS4 Slim, aka just the PS4 now.
Yeah.
That was getting embarrassing. How they
totally ignored it.
That was just getting really, really embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Not too proud as a PlayStation user, owner, lover, dedicated, you know.
All right. Let's talk about, I think we should break it down. Let's talk about the console as a whole. Or not the console, the conference as a whole. Because I think that is something that needs to be talked about. And then we can talk about the individual items. Cool?
Yes.
Okay. So the conference as a whole. I had it on in the background while I was in certain meetings and then while I was working. And the main thing that I've been really excited about PlayStation conferences in the past little while is it feels like they're hitting you with the 1-2 punch over and over again. It's like, bang, game trailer, game trailer, game trailer. And it's just like the hype. Like they really know how to make it impactful. And what this conference didn't have was that. And I think it might have been because of how they presented all the information about the new consoles coming out and how they narrated it. Thoughts?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was, as far as events go, it was touted as like the PlayStation experience. And it was like a passing mention at best. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. It wasn't an experience at all. Maybe if you were there, it was an experience, but even that didn't look too great. I know watching it certainly wasn't an experience. It was really, really boring.
Yeah.
From the visuals to the actual speakers, it was just a snooze fest.
Mm-hmm. So some details that we did learn, of course, was about the PS4 Slim, which is the actual PS4, the new iteration of it. That's what was leaked a week or so prior, where it's the first time I've ever encountered a console launch where they totally disregarded anything to do with the console being leaked. Like, they just ignored it. They pretended it never happened. And that console, like, had reviews. People had been playing on it, showing videos of boot screens and
there was an unboxing, and PlayStation stood there like, what PlayStation Slim? I don't know what you're talking about. And it's just like, guys, seriously, come on.
Weird. I mean, with all that being said, it's coming out September 15th, so essentially this is replacing the OG PlayStation that everybody has bought, the 50 million people to date. How many people have bought a PlayStation? Something ridiculous like that. This can't be 50 million. Is it really? Holy crap. So this is going to replace that model. It's going to be cheaper. It's going to be $299, which is kind of awesome. That's USD, not Canadian dollars. Yeah. 500 gigabyte hard drive with the guts of the OG PS4. So it's the same, power, all that kind of stuff. A few design customization, including a light bar on the front, rounded corners, and it's 30% smaller than the OG. Bye-bye to your optical port. So I hope you don't want that type of sound. Power consumption is reduced by 28%, which is kind of cool. Supports HDR gaming. And with that, everybody else who bought a PlayStation, you're getting an update tomorrow, I believe. That's going to bring HDR video capability to all of us. So if you got a PlayStation 4, you bought it at launch, you get it now for HDR capability. That's kind of a nice perk. That kind of makes us a little bit happy. Then comes the PS4 Pro, formerly known as Neo.
Why'd they change the name?
I think Pro makes more sense, to tell you the truth. Hmm. Because Pro just feels like I kind of think of it like the iPhone and iPhone Plus.
Plus.
If it's Neo and it has a whole new name, it feels like a whole new console. And I think that's where, like, everybody got hyped, like we were going to get something brand spanking new that was going to, like almost like PlayStation 5. But, okay. So, it's going to be $399 USD. It's going to support 4K gaming, but only some games that provide it. It's going to have higher frame rate, but only for some games. Not everything supports it, but developers have to create their games to work on both consoles. It's really hard to explain the difference between a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation 4 Pro. It's really obtuse. It really does feel like, to me, like the PS4 and the PS4 Pro is like just like a bigger version iPhone. It does run 4K natively, and you're going to, it's going to be really rare on a PlayStation 4 to find a game that can run 4K. Harder to show, I'm reading my notes are all messed up on me. So here's another thing too, is they're not going to be able to play 4K Blu-ray. So you've got installed in your console already, you can play Blu-ray movies, but you won't be able to play 4K, which doesn't really make any sense. I'm getting so confused because it's not even like I can keep it straight in my head of what the difference is. Oh yeah, there's a terabyte hard drive in it, but like you could put that in your old console. So like, I'm still really confused. What is the difference here?
They just kind of seem like they're just a little all over the place right now. And like they want to appeal. They want to appeal to us. And like, but they don't maybe understand what they're doing.
It honestly felt like they were scrambling to catch up to Microsoft, and they were unclear about the Pro, and the things that they announced for the Pro just aren't impressive.
Let's take it back. Remember when people started talking about the Neo? Was that a leak? Or did PlayStation say something?
I'm pretty sure at that point it was verified that both companies were working on a higher end model console.
So why bother talking about it at all or bringing it up at all? Why not just wait?
Well, they still waited even after it was official.
Was it, we've talked about the hype before in previous podcast about how hype can be good and hype can be bad and how to, you know, curb the hype to make it work for you. Do you think that our hype got so intense and our predictions and all that kind of stuff got so crazy that we had no choice but to be disappointed in this announcement?
No, I think they could have wowed people, but they just didn't.
Do you think they should have come out with something that was more like PlayStation 5?
I think they should have come out with something that was going to rival Scorpio.
But Scorpio's not out yet, and they haven't even really said what's in Scorpio.
Yeah, but I mean, the presentation for Scorpio at E3,
yeah,
a lot more going for it than the PlayStation experience did last week. I think the fact of the matter is, like, PlayStation just announced two new consoles, and what's going to be the base console now is pretty much straddling, like, our upgraded S console.
Yeah, I think they're pretty well even.
And there are specs out for Scorpio right now.
The teraflops and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but still, Scorpio, and I think this also has to do with the presentation of it all. So if you break it down, when Scorpio was announced, it was during the press conference. It was like one of those things like, we'll talk about it later. You know what I mean? But like, here's a little tease. While this was a full-on announcement. So of course they could tease and just leave a little to the imagination and wait longer when this was a full-on press conference just for this. I almost feel like they shouldn't have had a press conference at all. I feel like they should have done like a press release and just be like, here's a new, more powerful version. I think that would have served us better.
And like really what it comes across as right now is, so Xbox obviously have their big announcement of Scorpio at E3. The presentation itself was gorgeous. Everyone got really hyped. And then PlayStation was like, oh, we have something coming. And then how many months ago was that? What, E3 was what, 2 months ago? 3 months ago?
Two months ago? Yeah.
Now 2 months like down the line from that, they're like, oh, look, guys, here's that thing we were talking about. Like, it just feels like they're trying to catch up because of the way that they announced it. Mm. And that I think is shooting them, like they shot themselves in the foot by doing that. Mm.
Yeah, it's really weird in that sense. And especially since you're getting a new, like, let's look at the timeline we have right now. So September 15th, we're getting the slimmer PlayStation, the newer iteration of the, you know, PlayStation
the model. Yeah.
Then in the beginning of October, we're getting VR. Then November 11th, I think it is. Is it November 11th that it comes out? Why is November 11th stuck in my head? I believe that's the release date for the PlayStation Pro. That's a lot of press stuff to put out in the next little while. And a lot of stuff to sit on store shelves.
That's a lot of pricey hardware to expect that, your community to buy.
Yes. So you got, say you wanted to buy the PS4 Pro. Not only do you have to buy that and maybe you want to buy VR with that, you also need a 4K TV to be able to support that.
And that's what a lot of people are missing. It's like, yeah, that's that system's capabilities, but unless you have the setup to support that output, then you're not going to be able to take part in half of its offerings.
Yeah. And let's talk about trying to display HDR video and 4K video when you're streaming something that doesn't even support that.
In a Twitch stream.
I don't get it. Like, where did they think that was a good idea? None of us, like, don't even bother having a stream at that point because we don't understand. We can't see the difference.
But it was like 25 minutes of this guy assuring me that this was 4K. And yeah. I was like, really? Because this looks like 3 pixels on like in this Twitch stream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was bad.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh yeah, no Blu-ray player in the console. People were like, what?
It was a Blu-ray player, just doesn't play 4K.
No 4K Blu-ray player. And it was just like, so I'm going to have to buy all my games digitally now if I want to experience 4K.
Yeah, or your movies. Yeah, that's true. It's kind of wild.
It comes across as like a grab for the PlayStation Store.
Well, hey, it's cheap on PlayStation's front. They don't have to make physical media. They don't have to ship it. They don't have to deal with resellers. They don't have to, like, all the money goes straight into their pockets.
Yeah, but they're essentially creating a monopoly.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not cool.
It just kind of feels like I don't really have like a big opinion on this, but like I love PlayStation, but like it just kind of feels like they're kind of like, you know, they're playing the consumer and like, hey, you want 4K, this and that, all fancy, with like kind of playing them as if they don't actually know that, like, no, but you need this too to be able to play 4K.
Yeah, there's like small print.
They're really like, you know, banking on that 4K HD, HDR, whatever, you know, just to bring in the money. And they don't really, I don't know. I don't buy it. It's kind of depressing.
They did show some games. And I mean, the two most hyped games out of the E3 press conference, Horizon Zero Dawn and the Spider-Man game. I mean, they look dope.
They do. Exciting.
And I'm excited to play them in whatever way they give them to me. But like, am I going to go back and play Lara Croft? Like, I remember that game being pretty.
It was gorgeous. But I mean, you couldn't see it from like the conference that if it was 4K or not. So, you know, like even like most films you go to the cinema to watch, it's not actually in the correct resolution that you're actually supposed to be seeing it at. So it's just like, just for money. I don't know. It's a little depressing.
I think this is one of the cases where, like, if they had just said and put out a press release and said there's two different versions and now we're giving you a better SKU so we can support these things so that, you know, just like it's an iteration, we're building something new, more to come, blah, 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 blah. I think this would have went down sweeter. But because they made such a big deal out of it, that's why everybody's burned. Allie, you look like you're holding your tongue.
Do it, girl. No. Like, and I said this before we started the podcast, like I'm an Xbox fan, but I give PlayStation their due when they deserve it. And I just really think they screwed the pooch on this entire thing. I think not having something to announce at E3 on that large of a platform was a mistake. I think doing this months later as a follow-up was a mistake. I think the manner in which they presented this news was a huge mistake. And I can't remember his name, the guy that was giving the presentation of like the 4K and the 8K.
He's like in charge of everything. Like,
I know.
He's the brains behind it. Like, he is like the most intelligent man. But yeah, his
presentation. He needs to not talk.
He's so quiet and calming.
He was so boring. And I literally wanted nothing more than for him to get off my screen. And that sounds so mean to say, but when I work in marketing, and it's just like, part of me was like, stop it. He sounded like an ASMR video.
Yeah.
This is what he sounded like.
Presentation
on TV on Netflix. Like,
yeah. Like that. If this had come out, all these announcements, if they had been released during the E3 press conference, do you think it would have been different?
Yeah. I feel like it would have been a head-to-head competition, whereas now it just feels like a game of catch-up. And yeah, like on top of the press, like this press conference, and then like 2 days later, Sony finally saying no to like Bethesda mods, and then the 4K Blu-ray player, and it's just like one thing after another for like a solid week. People were like, "What's happening?"
And there's still a lot of events. I mean, TGS, are we in the middle of TGS now?
No, it's being, does it start this weekend? I know there's a PlayStation event tomorrow being streamed.
Yeah, so that's part of, I'm pretty sure that's part of TGS, Tokyo Game Show. And there's the you know, like the actual, like you mentioned PlayStation Experience, like PlayStation Experience is an actual like conference, like for like mega PlayStation nerds to go hang, like be at. That's usually in like in beginning December, end of November.
Just what that was?
No, that's the PlayStation meeting. That's when you were saying PlayStation Experience. I was like, it is kind of it, but that was like a press conference. The PlayStation Experience, they have like an actual, like, almost like their own little Comic-Con.
Yeah, but okay, so then this is just, I don't know what, like, I mean, and this is interesting that you mentioned that. So, like, if there's another huge PlayStation event, I've heard rumors online, or, like, not rumors, but people theorizing maybe there's another console, which I think would be a massive mistake at this point. if they announced a third piece of hardware for people to buy. But I don't know. It's just very strange. They're making very odd decisions. And I'm curious to see if there's a method to their madness or if it's just madness.
Now, Allie, you don't currently own a PlayStation console, correct?
I have a PS3.
Okay, PS3. Would you be willing to, if there was the game that you wanted to play, buy a PS4 Pro?
No, not even a little bit.
Would you buy the traditional PS4 or the Slim? Not even?
No, I'm not I'm an Xbox fan. There's no exclusives on PlayStation that appeal to me. I'm just not a big fan of their UI, not a fan of their exclusives, and their hardware just doesn't
do it for you.
No. Alice, the Pro doesn't do it for me.
Alice, you're currently on the Destiny limited edition version of the PS4.
I love that one. It's beautiful. It's white. There's gold on it. It's gorgeous. So no, I won't be buying, the new ones, but maybe down the line,
If mine currently sounds like an airplane taking off. So if mine kicks the bucket, I will buy a new one, but I don't think I'll buy the 4K one because I do not have a television to support that. And I already spent $1,500 on this TV. So suck it. I'm not spending that much money again.
This is coming from someone who's like a diehard. Like, I grew up with a PlayStation. Okay. PlayStation was my first console, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. And if you have the money to spend on both, like the console and the TV, power to you. But,
I would much rather put my money into the VR headset.
And just saying, Xbox just had a deal at Best Buy in the United States where you can get a 4K TV and an Xbox One S for like $800. So I'm just saying.
What the hell? PlayStation. Sony. Okay, there goes my speaker
right now. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just, there's a little bit of.
But Allie, Sony makes TVs.
I know. You know what the oddest thing is, guys?
I forgot about that.
For obvious.
Here in my bedroom is a Sony. And when I turn on my Xbox by using my controller, my TV powers up first. And the first thing I actually see is Sony before my Xbox, like, home
That's TV funny.
Modes. And so, like, every once in a while, I just, like, look at it. I'm like, this is ironic and hilarious. And
giggle a little. I love it. That's hilarious. I know, like, I'm also a hardcore, like, I've grown up on PlayStation. My Xbox One's my first Xbox. So, yeah, these kinds of things. But, like, I don't really play by the console war at all. I'm just, like, whatever works for me, best decision. I mean, I'll call a company out, even though I like them, and they do something silly like this.
And I'd like to say, like, I know I've been, like, really, like, Xbox. But I had a PlayStation 1, I had a PlayStation 2, I had a PlayStation 3, I had an Xbox. An Xbox 360 and had an Xbox One. Like, you know, I get like you don't opportunity that. To like all the consoles, but just PlayStation 4 is not happening.
Equal opportunity console lover. That's Allie. All right. I think it pretty much wraps it up when it comes to that topic and most of our topics for today. Did you ladies have anything else you wanted to add when it comes to any of those press conferences?
Pokemon's gonna be awesome.
That's a good thing to add.
I actually have something I want to to add.
Voice of God!
Yes, hi. I have some bad news for Blizzard fans.
What?
Chris Metzen just announced his retirement from Blizzard.
Like when?
Like now, like 10 minutes ago. Like
he
posted on he just posted on the internet saying he announced.
Oh my God! Do you think he's gonna go join the?
No, he says that. Bonfire. No, he says that he's retiring, so he's not going to a different studio. He's not like doing anything else. He's just stopping. So that's actually kind of very sad.
Wow.
Yeah. So he made like a long post before him.
How old is he? Does anybody know?
I don't. Well, he said he's starting in his late 20s, and he says it's been 23 years. He's probably 50.
Yeah, okay, late 40, maybe. 50. I can understand. Maybe he just needs a break. You never know. He might come back for another huzzah, but
like he's tired. Saying, I was reading his post a bit, and he was saying, like, I've never been this happy with, like, Overwatch doing well and the Warcraft movie and all that kind of stuff. Like, he wrote Warcraft. It's,
That's crazy.
Pretty crazy, yeah. So, yeah, Chris Metzen is retired.
Wow. Well, the best of luck to Chris in his retirement. He'll be doing something else at 42. Like that's early. That's
He has to keep doing Thrall's voice. Like no one else can do Thrall's voice like Metzen does. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Wow. It's so breaking sad. News as it happens.
That is really, really disappointing. And I mean, obviously I understand he's worked so hard and he's made so many strides for gaming as a whole, but I mean, he was the face and voice, or a big chunk of the face and voice of Blizzard.
Nothing gets you pumped up like Chris Metzen walking on stage and
at like UConn. Like yeah, I mean that, like he is,
he's a superstar.
Yeah, that's it. He really is. He's a Blizzard superstar. He's such a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
He's gonna, that's gonna be felt everywhere. Wow. That's really sad.
Yeah, the news is all up. GameRanks has an article up. Wow, that's crazy. Crazy. Oh well, breaking news as it happens right here at the GOG cast. So with that being said, Sawyer was like ending on a sad note.
Yeah, Simon, you just really bummed me out.
Way to go, Simon.
My job here is done.
Oh my god, the master of trolling.
Like that just upset me a little bit more than I thought it would.
Oh no. Oh Allie, don't be stressed.
Aww.
Don't be sad. Okay. We're all together. He's still around. He's still kicking. Yeah. All right,
Son Brozak said that he thinks that Jeff Kaplan will take the reins. Jeff Kaplan is great, but he's not the storyteller that Chris Metzen is. Was. Oh, my God. Was. Holy
don't
cow.
Say was. He's still dead.
No, but he's like, dead? I don't know. He still was, but whatever.
All right, well, that kind of wraps it up here for us at the GOG chat. Before I let you all go and I get the girls to like tell you where you can track them down, I want to fill you in on some stuff. If you ever want web hosting, you can go check out our sponsor Fun.io. They have some awesome VPS hosting services and they do a wicked job at girlsongames.ca. If you like what you are seeing here, we have a wonderful stream schedule with a wonderful stream team, which Miss Alice is part of. And this week, we've got a fun, fun week of games. Kathleen is tomorrow at 8 p.m. She's playing Ratchet and Clank. Alice is doing something really extra awesome on Wednesday at 8 p.m. She's playing Junten and giving away a code for the game. So
Be there,
be square. Mm-hmm. No code for you, if not. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, we got Miss Bianca playing... Ooh, Final Fantasy.
Sorry, it's there's been a mix-up. She's Friday. I'm Thursday.
You're Thursday. Ooh, Simon's on Thursday.
A little switch. Sorry about that.
Ooh, Simon, you're playing Legion? World of Warcraft?
Probably, definitely. And maybe Overwatch. We'll see how it
goes. Souls.
Or Dark Souls, because Alice wanted to play Dark Souls. We'll see how it goes.
Ooh, cool. And then Bianca's going to be on Friday. Sweet.
Final Fantasy X.
Playing Final Fantasy X. I love it. Love it. Final Fantasy X is awesome. And just a reminder, yeah, go if you get the chance this weekend, you're in the Montreal area, go check out the Montreal International Game Festival happening at Dawson College. That's downtown, right by Alexis Neon. We will be there judging. It'll be fun. And that's pretty much it for this evening. I want to thank Allie and Alice for hanging out. But before we let you go, Allie, can you let everybody know where they can track you down?
Yes, you can find me here on Twitch, on Twitter, and on Instagram at 8bitblonde, spelled out, like you see it in the little name taggy thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm everywhere under that name. Also on Xbox, so if you ever feel like adding me there and joining me in Halo 5 or Overwatch, feel free.
Cool, and Alice, how can people track you down?
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm Alice_inspace. It's too long for my whole thing. Twitch, I'm Alice in Spaceland. Stream here every Wednesday. And then on my personal channel, I do a lot of gaming and a lot of creative as well. So yeah, you'll find me there.
Yeah, Alice does some really, really awesome drawings.
Oh, thank you.
Love it. And I'm Leah. You can track me down at Leah Jewer on Twitter. And if you stick around here, I'm going to be streaming some ReCore as soon as the podcast is over.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm going to set that up. So stick around. I'm going to play some ReCore. But thank you all for coming to hang out. If you want to learn more about Girls on Games, track us down. Twitter, The Girls on Games. Facebook, The Girls on Games. Instagram, Girls on Games. And on our website, of course, girlsongames.ca. So have a wonderful evening. It's been awesome. More press conferences. We'll see what happens next week. I'm sure more news is going to be trickling out from all this.
Oh. You know what comes out next week. Allie knows.
Yes.
What comes out next week?
A little DLC called Rise of Iron.
So I think there might be some streams of some Destiny Rise of Iron next week.
You will not see me. You will not hear from me. At all.
All
the ladies are going to be disappearing.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. Have a wonderful evening. I'll see you in a few minutes when I play some recall.
Stick around.
Have a great night.
Bye, guys. Bye.